Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. This is Michael, KE4EST.
And this is Brian, Titanium.
This week we got to sit down and have a talk with Eddie Kim. He's the VP of products at Silicon Dust. So if you're interested in wanting to see what's the current stuff with the Silicon Dust and HD Home Run series and the new releases, or if you're interested in cutting the cord, you might want to stay tuned and listen to it. It was a nice interview.
And thank you, Satellite Nation, for your suggestions for subjects for the Tech Corner. So in the second half of the show, we're going to open up the phone lines and we're going to take your phone calls and we're going to talk about tech stuff. And the phone number for the call-in is 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. Now, if you're an international caller or if you just want to save Satellite Guys from being buried by a massive phone bill, call 347-327-9319. That's 347-327-9319. And phone lines will be opened up in the second half of the show.
And if you happen to miss the Satellite Nation show, you can find a link after each show over at Satellite Guys in the radio forum at www.satelliteguys.us. And if you're not already a member of Satellite Guys, we'd love to have you be a member. Just stop and check by and come on over there. And we've got a lot of stuff over there at Satellite Guys. So head on over there and join up and listen to any rebroadcasts or lots of stuff over there to be a member of Satellite Guys to read about it.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff over there. Now, we want to put out a special thanks to Dave over at gotcband.com. That's gotcband.com. We really want to thank Dave for his help on getting us Satellite Nation up on Galaxy 19 and make it available for both Satellite Guys Radio and Access America. We want to give a special thanks to Ralph Black with Access America. Now, they have a satellite show that's Sat Talk Radio, one of the longest-running satellite talk shows in North America. So looking forward to them coming back on. And so special thanks to Ralph Black over at Access America for carrying Satellite Nation Radio on the Access America Radio Network and for getting us up on Galaxy 19 KU for all of North America to listen.
All right, Brian, let's get in that interview. Let's hear it. I'm excited to listen to it. So let's roll the interview with Eddie Kim.
Today, we want to welcome to the show Eddie Kim, VP of Products with Silicon Dust. Welcome, Eddie. So tell us a little bit about Silicon Dust. What is Silicon Dust? What makes it unique in the market?
Silicon Dust was initially founded in 2007. And at the time, we initially pushed out essentially a niche product. Our goal was to capture TV signals and push that out over the home network. So in the purest form, our products, the HD Home Run product line, essentially captures RF and it pushes it out over IP in the user's home network. The first product was a two-tuner over-the-air product that captured ATSC, so over-the-air digital, and the signal was essentially pushed to the user's computers. We supported multiple platforms, so we had Windows support, Linux support, as well as OS X.
Now, the product, just to be clear, it doesn't have a video out, it doesn't have an audio out. It basically is a tuner that connects to the customer's LAN, and then other devices on the network then take the signal, and essentially your device is a LAN tuner?
Yeah, that's correct. So our CTO is actually the founder of the company, and he was a heavy TV tuner user at the time. Essentially, he was using USB tuners and PCI cards and really found it cumbersome to use. Essentially, the USB tuners didn't work very well at the time, and then PCI cards, you would have to open up a computer and put in a physical PCI card. Devices, none of them were really multi-tuner at the time, so in order to get a product that worked to support multiple people in a home, we made a multi-tuner, and in not having it tied down to a single machine, we made it a network-attached device. So if you look at the back of the device, it's a fairly elegant setup. There's a power jack, an Ethernet jack, and an RF port, and that's it.
Now, for those people on the grid or off the grid, this is 12-volt powered?
It is 5 volts.
Oh, okay. So the power supply is a 5-volt. Okay, great. I notice that you have some new products out at this time that take the ATSC and cable reception to the next level. So you started out as an OTA or over-the-air ATSC device. What other products have you evolved into now, and how can it work with all of the devices that we have in our homes?
Yeah, so our first-gen product, it was just, as you stated, a two-tuner over-the-air device. It actually had two RF ports for each one of the tuners. Our Gen 3 device consolidated the RF tuners into one port so that we utilized an internal splitter. So it was just one antenna internally split to two tuners on the device. We also shrunk the size of the device probably smaller than half of what it was before. So that was our Gen 3 product. With the launch of the Gen 3 product, shortly after that, we also had a cable card supported product, a three-tuner cable card for cable subscribers. One of the few cable card devices that are out there.
Yes.
We actually recently had a conversation with officials at Cable Labs, and they told us that we're the second most successful cable card product release on the market today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Second to a TiVo. Admittedly, there is a bit of a gap between TiVo and us, but we are the second most successful cable card tuner product. So I can't say that with honestly say that.
Understood.
After the cable card tuner product, this year in 2014, we actually released two products. So the ATSC product, we've updated that, gave that a product refresh. Now it's on its fourth generation. We added DLNA support. It's still roughly the same form factor. Slightly improved the tuner reception on that as well. And as a sister product for the ATSC market, we've also released a transcode product. This product captures over-the-air signals in its MPEG-2 format. Still has the ability to push out MPEG-2, but it could also transcode MPEG-2 to H.264. This is beneficial when your Wi-Fi performance is spotty, or if you're a heavy recorder and you have limited space, since H.264 takes considerably less space than MPEG-2.
Okay, now I have at home an Android, I have a iPhone, I have a couple game consoles. Can I use your product with these products?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest question that we used to get at trade shows like CES and et cetera was, you know, how do I get my TV back to my TV? And at the time, you know, the typical smart-ass answer that we gave was, well, you watch TV on your TV. This is TV intended for your computer. So we didn't really have an answer for that, but in the past year and a half, we have developed apps to enable the TV signals to be accessed from multiple devices in the home. On Android, we have an Android app currently available, and we're actually going to be pushing out an update today to enable additional features. Game consoles, we support the PS3, we support Xbox 360 through the Windows Media Extender functionality. On iOS, we currently do not have our own Silicon Dust branded app, but I believe there are at least two or three third-party apps that enable tablet, iPad viewing or iPhone viewing.
Okay. Now,
what about the PS4 or the Xbox One?
So PS4, so how we support the PS3 is over DLNA. Interestingly, PS3 also supports DTCP/IP as well. So, for instance, if you're a Comcast user and you have a lot of copy-protected content, the PS3 will find the HD Home Run Prime over DLNA, and you can view copy-protected or premium content using DTCP/IP. The PS4, unfortunately, doesn't support DLNA, at least yet. I think they got a huge amount of backlash for not supporting it, and they put out some announcements that they would be supporting it in some future updates. So once that's released, we will happily be able to enable that. For the Xbox One is primarily a closed environment. I don't believe they have any kind of public APIs or SDKs.
And I think that's actually holding open a door in my back room right now.
Right, right. So, I mean, once we have access, we will start developing with them. We are engaged with the Xbox people, so hopefully we'll have something the next time we talk.
You know, something that's changed over the years since I think you and I have known each other for, what, maybe 3-4 years. The trend towards cord cutting has become not just this rare thing, but it really is gathering quite a following. I would see where your product really fits in well with folks that are looking to maybe cut the cord and go to OTA or simplify and bring their cable into their other devices.
Right, right. Yeah, we have known each other for a long time. Actually, we probably met at CES, 2008 or 9?
Maybe, yes.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, the whole cord-cutting culture has gained a lot of momentum in the past, I would say, in the past year or year and a half. We've actually have had technology partners that have done some market research. They've surveyed people. Granted, these are smaller, more concentrated surveys, a few thousand people at best. And they found that in the past year or so, over 60-65% of their people that were surveyed had recently cut the cord. And they asked the people who have cut the cord how satisfied were they. And I think it was like over 90% that were satisfied. So I think people are happily cutting the cord. They're happy to get their live sports and, you know, major network TV or, you know, some PBS over the air. And anything else they could subsidize with OTT like Netflix or Hulu.
Right.
And do it that way. Worst case, they'll just BitTorrent it. but having said that, the cable companies aren't hurting. Comcast, Time Warner, they've, I think they were reporting record subscriptions. They haven't seen a drop in subscriptions. HBO and Showtime have also reported record growth as
well. And that brings in a new term that I just heard recently, were the cord nevers.
Yeah, cord nevers.
The cord nevers are people that never considered having a subscription service, and they're just getting along fine with Netflix and over-the-air and other products.
Yeah, and I think in the next 10 years, that's really going to change with these kids coming up, you know, and the young adults that's never done it.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, if you look at Nielsen reports, they've done studies on different age groups. Typically it's the 18 to 40 category, but then they kind of cut that up.
A little higher, please.
Well, we'll say 18 to 50, right?
a little higher, please.
I'll stop. But they look at the preteens, the teens. What do they call it? Generation Y,
right?
Now or millennials, and they'll look at their TV viewing habits, and a large percentage of that is going to be your Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, that sort of content. But, you know, for live sporting events, live TV, over the air is probably the best way to get it, especially when it comes to video quality. The cable companies are well known for compressing video.
Right.
And you're not going to get that full 1080. You are going to get full 1080, but it's not going to be as clean and as sharp as it would be compared to OTA.
As you know, I've been a big supporter of Silicon Dust for many, many years. I've used your product with Windows Media Center, and the primary reason I use that is because Windows Media Center provides a very good EPG. Now, this is something that I know, is very integral to kind of planning your schedule or surfing through the channels. What do you have in place to provide guide data for folks?
Yeah, so recently we just signed on with a guide data provider earlier this year. And by this week, hopefully by the end of today, we'll be putting out a release, an update for our Android app. The Android app will integrate guide data information to show what's playing now and what's playing next. Essentially, the channel list would be, or the channel list is, a collection of images of what's playing. So what we call show cards. So for instance, if you're watching ESPN, it would show a little 4x3 image of the ESPN, let's say SportsCenter logo. So we're embedding channel logos, so the ESPN logo, the History Channel logo. We're embedding program images of what's playing now, and then right below below that, we're going to have text of what's playing next. So I call that what we call a truncated guide. It's not a full grid guide, but it is it will be able to tell you what's playing now, what's playing next, what channel you're on. You'll essentially be able to slide up and down the channel list and see what's playing now on other channels and what would be playing on next on other channels as well. So it's almost like virtually channel surfing without actually having to change the channel. So you can stay on SportsCenter, but kind of just scroll and see what's on ESPN2.
Now, this brings us to a point. Up until this point, we've primarily known you as a hardware provider. So now you're actually providing a little bit of development into the viewing experience with your Android app.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we still are a hardware provider, I mean, our main focus is on capturing the RF signal and efficiently and effectively pushing that out over the home network. But we understand that there are features that consumers want. Windows Media Center is essentially, it was our bread and butter.
Right.
A lot of our customers are still on it, but I think Microsoft's been very clear on saying that it's going to be available for maybe the next 10 years, but it hasn't really have had any attention to it.
Right.
I think. Probably since,
I think that's very
2010.
I think that's very safe to say, but it works well. Now,
Who knows? Maybe someone will hear this and they'll dedicate a team to it. But yeah, and it works well. It does what it promises to do. But the likelihood of it seeing any updates or feature upgrades is going to be is not likely. So that sort of user experience we want to provide to other platforms, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a phone, whether it's some kind of set-top box.
Okay. Now, a lot of your development for the viewing experience, you work with third parties. What are some of those projects that you currently have going on that you can talk about?
Current projects for viewing. Recently, at Google I/O, we've worked with Google and the Android TV team. So if you followed along with the Google I/O event, there was a little tidbit that they did on Android TV, and they kind of demoed a live TV experience on Android TV. The tuners that they used were HD Home Run tuners.
Okay.
So the user experience, the viewing experience is all embedded into the Android TV framework. However, the box, the Android TV box, is finding our box, capturing the RF signal, and essentially the two boxes are communicating in order to bring a live TV viewing experience onto the TV itself. We were really stoked about that. Google actually did a sandbox demo, so if you were attending the event, you could actually kind of play around with it and see how it worked. And they also did a couple of seminar type talks explaining how the development and how it worked. Probably find links of that on YouTube.
Now, your newer products like the Plus and the Prime are different than your products of the past. In the past. The product would receive an MPEG-2 signal and then provide the MPEG-2 signal through your LAN network for devices. the new units do H.264 transcoding. Could you talk a little bit about what the transcode is, and then maybe what some of the limitations of this H.264 transcoding might be in working with platforms out there? Because we know a lot of the platforms out there are getting quite a bit of following, but we know that they're kind of difficult to provide service to from a stream. Could you talk a little bit about that?
That's a great question. So the HD Homerun Prime is also a native streaming device. It only supports MPEG-2.
Okay.
But the HD Homerun Plus has support for hardware transcode. Essentially, what that means is it captures the over-the-air MPEG-2 and transcodes that in real-time hardware on the hardware itself and outputs H.264, also known as MPEG-4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That gives the user a considerable reduction in bandwidth. So you might be taking a over-the-air stream that's maybe 18 megabits per second, and you could transcode that to maybe 5 to 7 megabits per second.
Considerable we also provide savings. Different. Okay, wow.
No, absolutely. And we also provide a transcode profile. So if you're using it on a mobile device and you could even sacrifice quality and you want to go even lower, you might even be able to get that down to like 2 or 3 megabits per second.
Describe, is that a setting in your transcode in the device where you say, I'm streaming to this type of device and it changes the amount of information or
there's
size?
There's some checkmark boxes in the HD Homerun config GUI.
Okay.
So it's not something that you could change live, real time as you're viewing something, but it is in the configurations so that the users have options to what we call heavy. So if you're mainly viewing it on a Ethernet attached large screen TV, this would transcode from 18 to about 10 megabits per second. And then we have a mobile profile. So if you're doing it to wireless handheld devices, again, it takes it from 18 to about 3 to 5.
Okay. What are some of the obstacles that you see of getting this transcoded H.264 into devices?
So the reason that we supported H.264 in the beginning was that almost every device on the market, every handheld device, every mobile device, every set-top box-like device did not support MPEG-2. In order to support MPEG-2, there's licensing, there's fees that have to be paid. So our primary objective in supporting H.264 was, again, to reduce the bandwidth and in order to support a plethora of different devices out there.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not all of them are optimal in supporting live TV.
And why is that?
Because some of them will have a requirement that they support HLS. HLS being live HTTP streaming, which is a protocol that, for instance, Roku utilizes. I believe it was initially developed by Apple. Apple TV devices utilize this. Chromecast utilizes HLS or different variants, something similar to HLS. One of the things that HLS requires or mandates is that the stream be segmented and then chunked before it's pushed out. So you'll get something like a buffering. And during that buffering period, the content is being segmented, and then it's being pushed out. For services like Netflix or Hulu or any kind of recorded content, there's no problem because you have a finite stream. You could segment it and chunk that and push that out.
Okay.
But when you're doing this with live TV, you essentially have an infinite stream.
Yes. Okay.
And it's difficult to segment and it live infinite stream. We've done tests internally. However, performance is not optimal. For us, we have an internal benchmark that all channel change times have to be under 2 seconds. When you're HLS streaming, the channel change time is going to be anywhere between 10 to 20 seconds.
Okay, and I could see where that would really cut into the customer satisfaction waiting 10, 20 seconds for each channel change. Be pretty... I can imagine how much time it would take to surf through a channel list there.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're watching this on the big screen on your, you know, your 50-inch, I was going to say plasma, but plasmas are kind of relevant now.
LED.
Curved OLED screen, I guess. Okay. That's the biggest thing, right? Anything over 10 seconds, anything over 5 seconds is, well, I guess anything over 2 seconds is really unacceptable.
Going off of the subject for just a moment, we hear the term 4K. Last CES, everything on the floor was 4K this, 4K that. Do you see 4K entering the broadcast, and is this something that you're looking at right now in your products? Do you see that 4K is going to change the shape of broadcasting in the near future? Is this something that you're just going to react to as it comes along, or what do you foresee the future of 4K?
You know, it's something that we've been following closely. More interesting than 4K is actually HEVC. HEVC encoding, I believe it's also known as H.265. That would allow broadcasters to broadcast from 1080 to 4K quality, but they're getting even higher compression, so bandwidth is significantly reduced. I think it's even greater compression than H.264 while maintaining higher quality at the same time, and so less bandwidth and 4K quality is going to be a huge advantage. And so I think some of the cable companies are looking at this as a huge advantage for their end goal. However, when you're looking at components, when you're looking at silicon that supports H.265, it's expensive. And it's fairly newer technology. So, I do foresee a use of this. When it comes to what time frame, that's kind of unknown. But it is something that we have on our radar. It's something that we've talked about internally on a regular basis.
Okay. Now, there is something that, probably you say today the announcement might be made. Something new is coming into your products. What do you have going on?
Our CEO is actually in Europe right now, attending IFA and IBC, and we recently just announced a new European product that supports DVB-T2. We're calling this, this is a two-tuner over-the-air product. It's essentially the European equivalent to the HD Home Run Dual.
And for those listeners who aren't aware, the rest of the world uses a format based on DVB called DVB-T for terrestrial. And then a second revision came along recently called T2. Well, not recently, a couple years ago. So as we in the satellite industry saw the transition from DVB-S, which is DVB satellite protocol, to an S2 second generation protocol, Europe is going through the same thing right now, where their over-the-air broadcasting is transitioning from DVB-T to DVB-T2. So this product is your entry into over-the-air for Europe?
It's not our entry. We've had an existing product, the HD Home Run Dual, in Europe. Mm-hmm. It did not support T2. Essentially, we're doing a product refresh, product update in order to enable DVB T2. We're also enabling DLNA capability as well.
Congratulations. Very good. Now,
thank you.
You and I have talked for years about another product, and I am a big believer in what you have done with over the air. You have another product that is coming along soon, and it sounds like it's pretty much reached that point. One thing I can say about you, Eddie, is I know that you and Silicon Dust, you don't come out with products that are premature to the market. There.
I think you've actually helped us with some R&D. We've had conversations of a satellite version of the HD Home Run. Supporting Dish Network or DirecTV for the most part is impossible for us. We don't support proprietary encryption, and so that's not going to happen. But actually, you were the one that enlightened me on how much free satellite there is in the United States. And
well, should I, know, I should I say you're welcome or I'm sorry?
You know, I think a while ago we fired one up, and I was kind of blown away. There's, what, 500-600 channels of just free over-the-air satellite?
Oh, yeah, between
all your major
dish.
Networks, your local mm-hmm. networks.
Yeah, between the big dish and the little dish, there are hundreds of free channels up there.
Right, right. I mean, granted, a lot of them were ethnic, which is fine. I mean, some of it were religious programming, which is fine. But you still get your major networks, your PBS, that kind of stuff. I also heard things if there was like a, for instance, like if an ESPN truck kind of drove by, you could kind of pick it up with the
well, not these, just driving TV by, trucks. But yeah, they use the satellites to backhaul.
Yeah, so I've heard rumors. I've never seen it done in practice, but I've heard things.
You know, you're so only, you're an hour and a half away from me over in the Bay Area, so maybe we should have a viewing party over at my office or house sometime.
Yeah, that could be arranged.
Now tell me about this product and what can you tell us anything about the configuration or anything about it at this point, or just be on the aware that it's coming?
Yeah, so it is going to be a DVB-S2 product. I mean, in Europe, parts of the UK, Western Europe, free-to-air satellite is actually very popular. A lot of people use this, and they use this as their primary TV viewing source.
Yes, huge.
Yeah, I mean, so you're absolutely right. It's huge in Europe, and so there's a huge potential market there. I mean, obviously in the United States, it's not as big as it is in Europe, so we've been looking at ways to make an elegant product that does what is similar to what the HD Home Run products do. We're kind of in that late phase of the design, the latter part of the design phase, and so the hardware capability is being hammered out. I don't have any firm dates on when the product is going to be released. It's likely going to be anywhere between 6 to 8 tuners.
Awesome.
So you'll be able to capture satellite, capture all those hundreds of channels, have multiple users independently watch TV at the same time. I believe in parts of Europe, depending on the region and who the provider is, some of the content is natively broadcasted in HD64 as well. So our products, for instance, our transcode product takes MPEG-2 and transcodes that to HD64. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean our native products can't receive HD64.
Right.
Our native products receive whatever's being sent out. So if it's in MPEG-2, it's going out in MPEG-2. If it's coming in HD64, it's going out in HD64. That might be one added benefit.
Right. Okay. Well, that's very exciting to hear, because I know you and I have talked about this for a long time, and you know, we've bounced ideas off of each other. I'm very excited to hear that it's come to the point where you're considering manufacturing, and there might actually, very soon be a product from Silicon Dust to support DVB-S and DVB-S2. That is great to hear. I'm excited. This could end the interview right now, and I could live the rest of my life in happiness here. So. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Today we've had Eddie Kim, VP of Products with Silicon Dust. If people want to find out more about Silicon Dust products, where can they find out more information, Eddie?
Yeah, you go to our website, silicondust.com. We also have a Facebook page as well. We have an Instagram page, Twitter. And they could also give us their feedback and follow us on our forums. A lot of the engineering guys actually follow the forums as well. So if you're looking for a more technical response, I would suggest writing a response or a topic on the forums.
Yeah, very,
our
very
user
active.
Community is actually very tech savvy as well.
Very active forums, and I've found a lot of very interesting information through the years, and a lot of great stuff shared there. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Today, Eddie Kim, VP of Products in Silicon Dust. When we come back, join us for the tech segment, and we'll be right back right after this. Join us here live every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a live, one-hour weekly call-in radio show about the technology that we love. Every week, Satellite Nation features top industry news, interviews with the people and companies behind the products and services that change the world. Listen live to Satellite Nation for the inside scoop on the products and technology that we use every day. Meet and talk with the dreamers, innovators, developers of yesterday's, today's, and tomorrow's technologies. Satellite Nation airs here on Satellite Guys Radio and on Access America Radio Network on Satellite Galaxy 19. Tune in every Wednesday night live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Like us on Facebook. Let us know what you want to talk about because it's your Satellite Nation.
It is now time for the Tech Corner. If you would like your question answered on the Tech Corner, please post your question on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio.
Bring me rocks, bring me stones, so I can study them.
Oh yeah, bring me rocks, bring me stones, so I can study them. Oh, what a crazy artist. Have you ever heard of that song before? Bring me rocks, bring me stones so I can study them. Kind of leads right into Tech Talk. I think Michael is with us. Michael, are you there?
Oh, you're not here.
Okay, Michael. Greetings. Welcome to the second half of Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gohl, a.k.a. Titanium.
And I'm Michael, KE4ESC. And it's time for the Tech Talk, so you bring us.
Well, Michael, it seems like Skype is letting you down or whatever phone you're on right now. You're breaking up kind of bad. Maybe we can work on that a little bit. Well, the phone lines are now open to take your calls. And if you're listening to the live airing of the show on September 10, 2014, you can call us at 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. Or for international callers or to save Satellite Guys a dime, say call 347-327-9319. That's 347-327-9319, and we'll look forward to your calls. Now, tonight, I just wanted to let everybody know, right after we're over at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Access America Radio Network, will be the granddaddy of all satellite shows, and that is Sat Talk Radio with Ralph Black and Michael Cole. So stay tuned after we're done or tune over to Galaxy 19 or Access America to listen to Sat Talk Radio. Now, Michael, the iPhone product announcement was made yesterday. Were you watching or listening? Well, I guess Michael is not with us. So, yeah, yesterday a iPhone 6 announcement was made, and I caught a little bit of it, but they talked about the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6 Plus, and a watch. So if you're an iPhone or a Apple guy, Apple gal, and you want to talk about what was released or what was announced yesterday, go ahead and give a call and... let's see. Now, Michael, are you back? Okay. Well, Michael, you just join in whenever you can. So we just heard Eddie Kim with Silicon Dust talk about the OTA and cable tuners running on our devices here at home. Now, I've heard that the Silicon Dust Home Run Plus works very good on the Androids, and was wondering if anybody out there has the Silicon Dust Home Run Plus running on their Android tablets, their phones, or maybe even the Amico A3. So if you have something running, I'm thinking about putting the buying one of the Home Run Plus units and getting the application for my Amico A3 unit. So if you have one running, would love to hear from you. Now I think Michael is back with us now. Michael, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Perfect. Well, join right in. I was just talking about the Amico A3 and working with Silicon Dust. Now, I understand that you have been checking out Facebook and got some other questions come in about our interview with Eddie Kim.
Okay, yeah, you went over the Silicon Dust over the air. Okay. Yeah, we had Fridge FTA, Joe over there, had posted up some questions, and one of them was he asked about, for the Europe customers, will DVB-T2 be available anytime soon? And as, you know, he's seen in the interview, or seen, listened to in the interview, he did, you know, mention that the CEO is now, or was yesterday, over in Europe. They announced it yesterday. And so it's it is there, and it's coming, and and you know it's. And he also asked about if it, you know, take a firmware upgrade, or if it was going to be new hardware.
Right.
And it'll have to be new hardware. You know, it's kind of like going from, you know, DVB-S for satellite over here, and then when we switch there, things are now switching over to DVB-S2. He got my new hardware because of the encrypting, you know, the way everything's encoded and everything. So
right, just a different beast, isn't it?
Yeah, same way. You have to buy a new receiver or a new unit, but T2 is available.
Okay, so for all the European listeners and anybody else outside of the areas, mainly North America, that uses ATSC, the DVB-T2 was just announced, and it will be available for sale very shortly. So that's very exciting to hear. We do have a caller on hold, so let's just see if this caller has a question for us, and then we'll get back to these questions from Facebook. Caller from area code 860, go ahead. You're on with Brian and Michael.
Hey, Scott.
Howdy, howdy. How you doing, Scott?
Okay, I heard Michael's phone die, and then I, because of the delay of the internet, I decided to call in just in case it didn't come back.
Well, very, very good. Well, just pipe in there if because I know you are quite the tech guru yourself. So if there's anything that talking about, just jump on in.
Oh, I love the sounds of that new Silicon Dust box.
Definitely.
Can't wait to see that one.
Are you running? Are you running it yet? You're yet to get your A3 back, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come back in the mail, and when it comes back in, I'm going to get it all hooked back up, and I think it's going to become my main box in my house.
So, Michael, that kind of leads to the next question of what Scott is going to need.
Yep. He's going to need an Android app.
Right. So Fridge FTA had asked, why is there a charge for the Android app? You know, even though it's $2, still it's $2. And so he was asking. Now, this question came in on Facebook this afternoon, so I had a chance to call Eddie Kim back right before airtime and chatted with him about this a little bit. Now, he said initially the Android app was developed by a third party. Now, Silicon Dust now does manage that third party app, but still that was kind of the history of how the app was developed. Now, it really is a loss center, and that's my words, not Eddie's, but it is a loss center for Silicon Dust, because every month, even though they don't charge a monthly fee for the services in order to provide the DRM licensing or compliance, it is a very hefty fee, an annual fee that the company must pay in order to carry channels like HBO and other services that are DRM protected. Otherwise, those would not be passed on through the silicon device to your connected devices. And then the final thing that he said was, as he said in the interview, is now they are offering guide data on the Android device. And the as we all know, the guide data is not free.
No, you don't get that free.
So I guess, you know, yes, there is a $2 charge for the item. But the great thing is you don't have an ongoing fee for the Android app. And so I think you're going to get quite a bit, you know, for bang for the bucks, per se.
Yeah, my Myth TV box, it cost me, I think, $24 a year just to get the guide data. That's not too bad at all.
Right. That's that's not bad at all, because I know the cost, you know, when I've been shopping for EPG, like through Tribune and other sources, EPG data is, you know, it's more costly than titanium or gold. What other questions do we have there, Michael?
He was Fridge also asked, he said, but where do they send customers? Because he gets people once in a while asking, you know, about this, and they don't know where to send them to. I guess he don't, you know, mess with the home run or whatever. So the answer to that is just about any electronic store or Walmart or anywhere, you know, online. You can go to, you know, Amazon and Fry's, and just about any place that sells electronics and TV-related stuff is going to, you know, sell HD Home Run product line.
Right, right.
Yeah, you get the HD Home Run Dual for about $89, right?
But the problem, remember though, Scott, is the Dual is only MPEG 2. So if you are going to stream it to a device that doesn't decode MPEG 2, Androids, you know, other things like that, iPhones in particular, you're not going to be able to use see television streaming on the Dual unless you serve it from a you know, a home theater PC.
I've been using my Dual to feed the antenna listings over at a trip site, Rabbit Ears, so that way you can see what my signal readings are.
I think that is a great service. How long have you been doing that, Scott?
Almost a year, but my to be honest with you, my box died about a month and a half ago, and I had given it to a friend to see if he can fix it, and I had not seen it.
Well, he must have fixed it and really likes it, so I guess this is an excuse to buy a Plus.
Maybe.
Now, Michael.
Maybe. I've got the Eastman Prime at work.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
Trip.
Trip, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trip, he did have a question, too. He asked me, and I talked to him a couple days ago, and he sent a late reply, but it was too late, so... And I think, you know, I said, Ryan, you did get a hold of Eddie just a little off of the show. And he asked, he says, if there's going to be any chance of Roku compatibility outside of, you know, other things like, you know, HD, HR, and playing and similar apps.
Right. Now,
what did he have to say about that?
Right. I did talk to Eddie about this. You know, I think getting on Roku would be the coup de grace. I mean, Roku, you can buy...
Yeah.
You know, you can almost buy them at Starbucks, and we know how many of those there are. But no, I mean, Roku, you can buy anywhere. I'm surprised they don't have them at 7-Eleven yet. But the problem, and it's not a problem, it's a technology issue. Like Eddie was saying, the issue is that the HLS... Now, HLS is a streaming format that Roku is very strict about, and that means that whatever is streamed must be sent in chunks, three-segment chunks, with specific timing applied to them. And as Eddie explained to me, this is a real challenge when you're doing live streaming because of the buffering that is necessary to reformat or transcode this from the originating format to this HLS compliant. And the biggest problem is that he says, what customer is going to be content with having to wait 20 seconds for a channel change? And that's every time you change a channel, it would have to buffer out and rebuild this stream. So I don't know.
That explains why the SiriusXM app is so bad on the Roku.
Yeah, it certainly can be. I don't have much experience. Is it just a long delay to respond to any remote command?
When you select the channel to play, it could take up to 30 to 40 seconds before it starts playing sometimes.
Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Every time you change a channel?
Bad.
you know, as I surf through my channel list of OTA channels, I can just... Oh, my patience would end after about two channel changes.
Yeah, when I first started playing with the SiriusXM app on the Roku, I actually thought there was something wrong with my box or something wrong with the app or something wrong with the internet. And then I got frustrated, so I grabbed my laptop and was looking to see if anybody else was having this problem. And was typing and typing and typing, and all of a sudden the music started playing full blast. I was like, oh, geez. And just found out it's a long time to just get to start streaming.
Well, I think that, it's really great to get some questions from the callers, and it's really great that we're able to then just to follow up and get answers for the same show. So on Facebook, if you guys want to post any questions for any guests that we have in the future or any guests in the past, we'll be more than glad to follow up with those interviewers and ask those questions and get the answers on another Satellite Nation show.
For sure.
Now, beyond...
what do you guys think about the iPhone?
Well, before we get to that, because I think we could spend a whole show on that, I just wanted to just mention quickly, while we were kind of talking Android and everything, the Joe over at Fridge FTA posted up a cool telephone app. Do you know something about that, Michael?
Yeah, I've not tried it yet, but I know it's you said it through your because they did a good job of knocking out all the telephone related stuff. You know, it is an Android device, but he's trying to resurrect it, and he's got an app set up. He's got instructions if you go over there to fridgefg.info on how to, and it's free. To set up and use your phone.
Right,
use
and it's your, called
A3, make phone
Groove IP
Lite.
And
now what do you use as a microphone?
Well, that is very cool. You can use your remote control microphone, and it will either come through the television speakers, or you can plug an earbud into the remote control. So the remote control could be your complete handset.
Wow.
Yeah, so when your wife comes in the room and sees you talking to your... actually talking, like a conversation.
Gary Busey. Call Gary Busey.
When she hears a full-blown conversation, she's going to be like, okay, he's really now in love with his TV.
He's now talking to a satellite receiver. Okay.
Well, the product is called Groove IPTV Lite, and it gives a free telephone number, your local telephone number, and their free calls in U.S. and Canada. So I thought that was very cool. So,
check that out.
And I loaded my Jive, and that's my IP phone service that I use for my work calls. And I loaded the Jive app on, and I'm finding that it works very well on the A3. So I was thinking maybe next week my call in for the show to Blog Talk will be on the A3. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
And then also one last thing is over at Fridge FTA, Joe posted up three ways that you can control your A3 in case the dog eats your remote or the couch monster cushions devour or hide your remote control. And those three ways are, do you have them there, Dave, Michael?
Yeah, you can you go to your web browser and just type in the URL for your AP or your A3, your IP address, and access it that way. Or you can, typically will say they really can do that. And I'm like, yeah, you just punch it right in. It's got its own little built-in, server. And then you can Or you can use the Spark 2 Android app, you know, the virtual app, as a go through it that way.
And you would need to have a Android phone or an Android tablet for that, right?
Right, right, yeah. Or you could use a USB keyboard or, you know, wireless keyboard with the USB little dongle and do it that way.
Right.
That's the way I did it.
Hey, now, we only have about a minute and a half left. Oh, my goodness, wow. Where does time go? iPhone release, what did you guys think? Scott?
Well, I like the bigger size. I like the new pay feature. But other than that, nothing too impressive.
Did Ken Cook, did loose lips on Ken Cook reveal anything to you there, Michael?
Yeah, he was calling it the iWatch because they didn't have a name for it, and he called it iWatch. It flipped up on the interview after the show, so I don't know.
Okay, it
Do you think we'll ever see another device made with the i name?
So, yeah. You know, I need a compelling reason. Guys, I like my iPhone 5. You know, other than 128 gig and then saving thousands of photos that I never back up anymore, I'm just not too sure about all that extra gig. Ooh, you know what that means? Oh, my goodness. Hey, I want to thank Scott. Thank you very much for putting us on Satellite Guys Radio, heard on satelliteguys.us.
No problem.
On Roku and iTunes. Dave Wallace, Scott C-Band, Ralph Black, Access America. And by the way, that show is coming up right after this on Access America and on G19. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Join Satellite Guys Mike and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.